Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. I am your host, Karen Bemis. It is Thursday, August the 20th, 2015, and around here, today is the first day of school for one of my kids. Pardon me. Goodness. Third time's a charm, right? Oh, goodness. Anyway, the title of today's show is Expectations and Self-Sabotage. And the one that went to school today does not like to do homework. So I guess maybe that's what inspired this. And because we always kind of head into the year with great expectations you know, the kid hates homework. What can I say? He just hates it. And it makes it very hard, but it sabotages his success in the classroom. So we've got him in an alternative situation for this year, but there was one class that he could not take in the alternative classroom. So he will be taking that one traditionally, and we'll see how it goes. It is... life is an adventure because it doesn't matter how many kids you have, they're not the same. They're just not. And I think sometimes the greatest thing is, you know, when you can raise your kids to be who they are and let them be who they are, which is not always the easiest thing to do. And I have a very large group of friends, acquaintances, and even online friends that I've never met. And we're all kind of in that same life transition of letting go. And to all the mamas out there who are letting their kids go to preschool or letting their kids go to kindergarten for the first time, I do not belittle that at all. I know some kids, you know, I always said I'm better with the last kid than I am, you know, it's like I've been conditioned. It's always the first kid for me, where a lot of people, when their baby goes off to kindergarten, they're just, oh, me, it's always been the first one. But, you know, Robin Williams said one time, I love it, because every parent has two dreams for their kid. You know, there's that one where, you know, the first dream is, I'd like to thank the committee for awarding me this Nobel Prize. And the other one is, your child saying, do you want fries with that? And, you know, it's expectations, it's fear, it's self-sabotage. And I think we all kind of do it because we all have things we want to do, things we want to have, ways we want to be. And I think in most cases, we know what we need to do to get the result that we want. Now, occasionally we don't. Most of us also want the world or other people to change so that we can have what we want. And I think it's perhaps the most human problem that we have. How do we get from where we are to where we want to be? And I think Gandhi had it right when he said, to be the change you want to see in the world. If you want to be thinner, do what creates a thinner body for you. But I would caution you to do it in a healthy way. There's a whole lot of people who've done it in an unhealthy way. You know, there's women out there who starve themselves. I go to the gym, and I actually get a kick out of it because some of the thinnest women are just working out for everything they're worth, and they're miserable. You can just see it on their face. They're completely miserable. you know, I know people who have tried to say, you know, they got there through diet and exercise, and other people have told me they take diet pills to get skinny. I know other people who have had surgical procedures. And I understand some of them are life-saving, and they need to happen. I have a relative who had gastric bypass. She just could not lose weight. And finally, with gastric bypass, she was able to drop a lot of weight. And for her, it was a health issue. It wasn't about getting skinny. It was about getting healthy. And since she's gotten healthy, she's switched professions, and she has moved into ministry work, and her life is amazing. It really is. But that was the only way she could do it that was healthy. There's, you know, a woman I knew one time, just brain all thin, and she had four kids, and I'm like, how do I look like this after three? And she looks like that after four. And another friend looked at me, she goes, seriously? And I was like, what? She goes, lipo. Every time she, her husband wanted another child, she demanded another procedure. So I'm thinking, well, heck, you know, unfair. The deck is stacked. But, you know, it's about what's inside. It's about what's outside. But, you know, like I said, those skinny women who are just working out and miserable, you know, that is not a successful life to me, because I'm guessing when they look in the mirror, they're not happy, or they wouldn't be so unhappy when they were working out. You know, it's about being what's happy. Yes, I want to be thinner and healthier, but I want it to be healthy and fun. And, you know, I wrote here, weight loss for me is simple. It is simple. I know what and how to eat for me to be healthy. But, you know, I know that I need exercise. It doesn't have to be horrific exercise. Just I need to move more. And the big one for me is sleep. I have to go to bed earlier because I have this thing where my father had it too. When the older he got, it didn't matter what time he went to bed, he always woke up at the same time. Well, I'm kind of there. And the earlier I go to bed, the better off I am, because I can get maybe 7 or 8 hours of sleep. But if I go to bed at midnight and I need to be up at 5:30, that's where I am. Ugh. So, and I'm one of those people who I need to eat whole foods. I need to stay away from grain. I know a lot of people can eat it, and a lot of people love it. Well, I come from a bread-loving, pasta-loving, rice-loving bunch of... all my family, that's what they love. And, you know, when they're eating it, it's so easy to grab a bite here and a nibble there and suffer the consequences later of eating that one piece of pizza or, you know, having vegetables for dinner and then eating that half of grilled cheese that somebody else didn't eat, you know. You know, and recently, you know, I've had some health challenges. I don't know if they're associated with my weight or not, but I do know that losing some of this extra weight can only be helpful in the long run. And honestly, you know, my health is more important than any sandwich. My family's more important than any piece of pizza. And the thing is, I like food that's good for me. I really do. I love fruits and veggies. I like drinking water. I could eat vegetable soup nearly every day of the week. I have to mess with it. It can't be the same every day. You know, I'll throw in some salsa and taco meat, just give it kind of Mexican flair. I'll throw in some basil and Parmesan cheese for the Italian. Great seasoning and a bit of feta cheese when I feel more Mediterranean, you know, and it's simple. But what it really comes down to is valuing my health enough to eat the best way for me and to stay away from the things that sabotage me. Because regardless of what what tempts me, it's still, I'm the one sabotaging myself when I put it in my mouth. You know, Zig Ziglar once said one time, no one has ever forced me to eat anything. They've never shoved it in my mouth and told me I have to eat it. Now, when I was a kid, I had some situations like that. Grandparents raised in the Depression that would not let me leave the table till my plate was clean, things like that. But we're not going to go there today. But I'm determined, you know. I'm going to have a lot of time to myself. I'll be eating a lot of meals by myself in the next couple of months because of everybody being scattered. So that'll make it a little easier for me. And, you know, I'm just tired of feeling not great physically. And I think the big switch is to, instead of feeling deprived about why I can't have anything or something, because you know what? I can have anything I want. I'm a grown-up. I can have whatever I want. But it's not the grown-up in me that eats, well, it's the little kid in me, that little inner brat that says, you're not the boss of me. You can't tell me I can't have whatever. But, you know, I can make delicious, healthy food. So I'm going to do that. And that's the gift I'm going to give to myself over the next few months, especially with the holidays coming on. I want to feel better. And, you know, I think the same principles apply to taking care of our home, building our career. You know, I know the steps to maintain and improve my home. I didn't before Fly Lady, so I did go on a search for systems to do that. Same with my writing. I know what's going to get it done. I just need to do it. And we were discussing that in a group that I'm in. That's, you know, what else inspired this is, you know, I used to think that the reason I wasn't successful at things I used to think it was because I lacked discipline or because somebody wouldn't let me, you know. Well, I could be thin if I didn't have to feed these kids three times a day. That's a load of BS. It really is. I'm sorry. At least for me it was. Because, you know, basically it's simply, and I think this happens with most people, that you're unpracticed with the skills it takes to do what you need to do. I know that consistent effort each day works. Now, with an ADHD brain, that is not always as easy as it sounds. It's amazing to me to watch how easy it is for my mother to just go through all of her routines and, you know, 12 years later, after joining Fly Lady, I still look at my list every day. Oh, it makes me cranky sometimes, but, you know, but the other thing I've learned to do is to ask better questions. You know, instead of asking now, because I know the system, how the heck am I going to get this house clean? I know what to do. But to keep myself on track, sometimes what I do is I ask myself what one thing I can do to make me feel better and bless the house at the same time. And for me, if you've been listening me or following my blog for a while, you know that that usually means it has something to do with my kitchen table. The vortex that my kitchen table is. And, you know, when that table's clear, so is my head. But when it's cluttered, so are my thoughts. And, you know, it's a chicken and egg thing. I don't know if the table gets messy because my thoughts are cluttered or if my thoughts get cluttered because the table's messy. You know, it's definitely a chicken and egg thing. And, you know, I used to get so mad about that and think, why can't I keep this clean? And what's wrong with me? And you know what I've realized is that there's nothing wrong with me. I now take that as a divine message, that I need to stop and listen. I need to stop and think. I need to redirect myself. It's a gift when that table isn't quite the way I always want it to be. Because it says, okay, time to listen up. Time to do something different. Time to change something.
instead of balking at the idea, it's like a treasure hunt for me now to figure out what it is I need to address to move on. And it's actually fascinating. And it's become a blessing instead of another pile of papers to clean up. Because sometimes when I get into those papers, it reminds me, oh, yeah, about this. Or, oh, yeah, oh, here's an idea I can use to write with or talk about on my radio show or something like that. And it's amazing the blessings I found in that when I stopped looking at it as such a burden and such a pain in the behind. Because there are, you know, I have piles. I think it was very interesting. I read something recently about decluttering that the purpose of decluttering is to get your home to a point where you're comfortable in it. And I thought that was really interesting, you know, that it explained a lot, because I don't know about other people, but I will go and I'll say, I am going to declutter every day for a month. And I get about 2 weeks into it, and I'm like, I cannot do this another day. It's like I'm stuck. I can't face another pile. And what I've come to realize is you have to settle into your new normal. Sometimes that's a new normal. Now, sometimes, you know, in the case of hoarders and things like that, they don't have that chance. But we do. And I think maybe that's the greatest secret of all, is to find the blessing in those situations. You know, not that, oh my God, I haven't decluttered for 5 days, but okay, what is it that I'm getting used to? What is the blessing in this? Where do I need to go next? And it isn't always apparent at the time, but it's there. There's a blessing in everything, eventually. Because I can tell you that 15 years ago, if you told me that my son's birth and health issues that I'd ever consider that a blessing, you might have found yourself on the floor. But as I sit here now, we have countless blessings from our journey together. And the first is the bond that we've developed. I dearly love every one of my children, but because I've been my son's caretaker, healthcare advocate, education advocate, and researcher of all things helpful for all of his situations, we've spent a lot of extra time together, and we have a really deep bond. And I've helped other children and other parents who have health issues navigate the minefield, not of the healthcare system, but of the emotions that come with having a child with extraordinary needs. And I don't pity them. I never pity them. But I stand in strength and calmness as much as possible, because I want to empower them. I don't want to feed into their fear. I want them to rise above the fear. Because I can tell you, when you're living in that fear, you're angry and you're confrontational. But when you can learn to find the blessing, or at least find someone who says, I'll help you, I'll bring you along, whether it's physically or mentally or emotionally, it changes you. And, you know, one of the things we've always done is we talk about my son's condition as an explanation, not an excuse. And we've raised him to understand that he has strengths and he has challenges. Everyone has strengths and challenges. His are a little more pronounced than some. But, you know, I've come to the understanding that my son will never grow up to be a writer or a great organizer of anything. And that's okay. But I would be willing to bet that his creativity and love of learning will serve him well in whatever field he chooses. And I'll help him, you know, we'll help him with that choice. And yes, we do have to deal with the challenges, but we try to focus most of our energy on what he can do rather than what he struggles with. And for the first time, now that he's in high school, he has a counselor that completely understands that. And it's fantastic, because I can start stepping back as she steps forward and teaches him how to advocate for himself. It's really kind of fun to watch. I used to do all the talking in the meetings, and now it's about half and half. And I assume within the next couple of years, I will talk little to none, and he will do all the talking with his counselor. And it's an exciting thing to watch. And so his challenge is actually giving him an opportunity to grow and use his creativity to find solutions. And it shifted recently. It shifted his focus from video games to learning how to do woodworking. He's always liked to do it, but he was so young. And, you know, with ADHD, you can tend to be a little less mature. You mature a little later. That we were worried about him using some of the tools. But now he's at a point where he uses them and uses them well. And he is finding such joy. And he is having such fun. And surprise of all surprises, he will even clean up after himself so that he knows he can do it again, you know, the next time he has an opportunity, which in my house, that's a minor miracle, my friends, because this is not a kid who likes to clean up after himself. So, you know, there's another blessing, believe it or not. And not for everybody, but for me, in addition to the blessing, there has to be some fun in it. There has to be an element of fun for me. Because, you know, I used to tell my husband before I figured out how to get my house clean, I would tell him we should have a party every month so that I would be willing to clean the house. Gosh, that's terrible. You know, and then, you know, there's the whole thing, why will I clean for other people but I won't clean for my own family? Well, I do clean for my own family. But I needed the pressure. I needed the motivation because I wasn't inspired. I had to be motivated. But even though I don't need that pressure to keep up with my house, now I love just having a clean home. I love being able to open my door and not be embarrassed when people walk in. But I still need the element of fun. You know, when I walk, most days, I would rather walk with somebody or talk with somebody on the phone while I'm walking than to walk by myself. Occasionally, I need to be by myself and I need to just be able to think. But that's fun for me. It's why I love my group of ladies on Facebook. You know, we share our daily triumphs with something we call, we've now renamed our accountability thread, an accountability post. Sounds a little weird, but, you know, we post our completed tasks. We ask for help with challenges. We rejoice with each other in our accomplishments. And we feel connected to one another. And the process of cleaning and decluttering and running errands and taking care of kids and cleaning up messes, it's just much less lonely and it's much less isolating. Because, you know, when you're a mom of younger kids especially, it can be a very isolating thing. When you're a mom of a kid with special needs, it can be a very isolating thing because you can't do what other people do. And this, any kind of connection is a good thing. And if social media has done nothing else, it allows people to find that. I'm on several groups with similar issues with my health issues, like my son's. And it's so nice to be able to help these new parents who are so scared and feel so disconnected and there's nobody who understands what they're going through and they've got opposition from family members and everything else, and we can support them, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, we work towards solutions. We lift each other up, and rather than complaining about a problem, like complaining about our husbands or whatever. Yes, we have the complaints. Yes, we give each other suggestions, but we don't blow up the problem. You know, we don't go from I'm ticked off at my husband to all men are scum. We just don't do that. And I've seen that happen. You know, I used to say that's why I was at the Super Bowl parties. I was always in the living room with the guys because I didn't want to be a part of that. And, you know, I like working
toward the solution instead. And what's helped me with that recently is I have a new mantra, and I think I may have mentioned this a week or two ago, but my mantra right now is to follow my highest calling and create the best outcome for each day. And it's the first thing, I try to make that the first thing I think about every morning, because it gives me a positive direction to go without a specific expected outcome. Because when you list a bunch of goals and you don't make them, it's deflating. But when you spend each day, follow your highest calling and create the best outcome possible for the day, there's so much less pressure. And, you know, that means, like, when I was having back spasms last week, that I could let myself rest and relax, because that was the best outcome. And the best outcome was to rest and heal, so that the next day I could go with my son and drop him off at college. Two parties. And for me, that is a big thinking deal. You know, I skipped two parties so that I could do that. And normally I wouldn't have shown myself that kind of grace to have that downtime on a Saturday. But going with him to college was the higher calling, not being at those parties, as much as I would have enjoyed being at the parties. It was a great day. Spending time with him, seeing his room, dropping him off. And I'm blessed to have been able to do that with him. I imagine that this world would be an amazing place if everyone focused on their highest calling and the best outcome of the day. Can you imagine if you could combine that with being a kind person? The choices people would make would change. You know, no Monday morning would ever be cursed. You know, because you would wake up thinking about your highest and best outcome of the week, your highest calling of the week, your best outcome of the week. You know, why do people do that? I think it's because they're not following their highest purpose. You know, raising kids has been a joy for me. I've said it many times. Even on my worst day, I would not have preferred to be at a job somewhere else. You know, she loved her job. And as much as she loved her kids, she needed her job. And I just got the 90-second call, so, oh my goodness. You know, the thing is, I am challenging people to answer their highest calling. And because it leads you not to a perfect life, but to a life of greater peace and authenticity. It leads you to make better choices, to keep growing, to keep learning. And it leads you to a life of meaning and joy beyond your wildest expectations. And that's where I'm headed. I hope you will join me with that. Because it's a blessed life indeed. And as always, since I'm about out of time, I want to thank you for being you. Have a great day. I love you all, and I will see you next week.